Three things Jesus was tempted with by the devil in the wilderness at his weakest point. But Christ resisted. Three strikes, devil, you're out. Leave. This certainly preaches Christ having the strength filled with the Holy Spirit to resist the temptation. But of course, Jesus was the Son of God, so shouldn't he be able to do this much more so than us lowly humans? But of course, Christ was fully human as well as fully God. So, while he is perfect, he does share our struggles, something that we can find comfort in as humans, right? As us imperfect creatures. The message is that Jesus transcended to be worthy of his status of the Son of God, as God's voice echoed down from the heavens in the Jordan River, that this is my Son. This certainly preaches. I preached this message before, but today I wanted to go a little bit further into the scriptures. Why these three particular things was Jesus tempted with? Of all the things he could be tempted with, bread, all the kingdoms of the world to rule, and a simple display of power by having angels lift him off the Temple Mount. Well, Jesus resisted not only the temptations of the devil, but resisted what people wanted to make him out to be, or rather what people thought he should be, what people tried to make him, and what people wished, what many people wished that he was for them, for the nation of Israel. First of all, people thought that the Messiah should be a Moses-type leader. And what did Moses do? Moses provided for the people in the wilderness with bread and water. Literally, manna rained from heaven. Moses struck a rock. Water flowed from it. Many times in scriptures, Jesus is compared to Moses. Feeding of the 5,000 people on shore. Remember that story? Yet Jesus is more than that, than just a Moses type of leader that provides for people's needs. Many people expected the Messiah to be a David kind of leader, a political leader, a conqueror, somebody that would reunite the people of the Jewish people into one homeland in Jerusalem. A mighty empire. Many people expect this, and many people still do, that the Messiah would be a political figure like David. The second temptation about ruling the nations of the world. Yet Jesus' kingdom was more than that. It was not of this world, as he says in the Gospel of John. Many people expected an Elijah type of leader, somebody who would just display God's power. Elijah did many mighty things, raised a boy from the dead, rained fire from heaven. Many people expected this out of the Messiah. The third temptation, simply getting people to follow him by virtue of his power. Jesus did display power in the Gospels, but his miracles were always of a deeper significance and for a reason other than just to perform a miracle so that people would see and believe in God. They always had a deeper spiritual meaning. Jesus transcended all of those things, all of those temptations, all of those boxes that people wanted to put him in. It's a little bit more than a simple black and white issue of doing what is right while Jesus is at a weak point. The devil rarely presents himself in straightforward ways. right? We know this to be true. It would have been perfectly acceptable for Jesus to feed himself, right? There's nobody around. Nobody would have seen him turn rock into bread so that he wouldn't starve to death. Maybe even God would have understood this, but of course, it's a slippery slope. If you do that, then what else? What other shortcuts are you willing to take? So it is with our own temptations. Much has been written in the realm of resisting personal temptation. We spent a week on it last summer at the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Help us avoid temptations. Take us away from the pitfalls, right? C.S. Lewis imagined in his novel, The Screwtape Letters, about how demons try to influence us, lead us down the wrong paths, wear us down. And the hero in that novel didn't, resisted like Jesus did. But I want to focus today instead on other temptations that are not quite so in your face, not quite so black and white, things that are of the slippery slope kind, a variety of temptations. The temptations that we have corporately as the body of Christ, as the church, as church members, that almost all churches universally are guilty of and have fallen short about. Now, what am I talking about? Well, the church increasingly finds itself in the wilderness times, out there on an island on our own. In contrast to everything around us, right? We look around, we're concerned. It's only natural that we start listening to those little voices that sit on our shoulder, right? Like in the cartoon, you had an angel on one side, a devil on the other, trying to influence us. We listen to those little voices about what we should do because we're a little bit more anxious about things because of our situation and our dwindling numbers and money. We are tempted as individuals within the body of Christ to, for one, hold on to power too much, to claim ownerships of certain tasks in the church. It's true, we often bellyache about having to do something again in the next year, in the next year, and that no one else will want to do it, but if we ask ourselves, do we truly trust others to do it, to do it right, to do it as good as we did it? They might do it differently. Are we afraid that someone else might have other better ideas than us? Are we afraid of losing our importance, feeling like we are not needed or appreciated anymore? We use the church to gratify ourselves, to give ourselves validation. It feels good. Many of us in retirement age like that, right? We like to feel needed, like we are contributing. I get that. Maybe the question in our heads should be asked, maybe it's time to let go, to let somebody else, a newer member, a younger person, to take up the mantle. To trust them. That's one temptation, to hold on to power. Another temptation is to throw our power around in church based on what we donate, based on how much our families would have donated in the past. We exercise power based on that. Or how long we've been members at a church, how many generations has our family been involved in this congregation? We want special treatment, right? We want consideration from the church body. These kinds of things are often in the subconscious level. They're in the background of any church organization to appease the power players. But that is for politics. It's not for church. But unfortunately, it's commonplace. That's another temptation, to hold on to power and then to wield the power incorrectly. Another temptation of the church is to be tempted to hold on to the status quo too much. We talked about this last week when we talked about change. We talked about how change is difficult. It takes time. It takes patience. Often the church is taken for granted. We assume that the church will be there for us. Change takes dedicated investment of time. It takes us, all of us, to make it a priority, to work at it. So we need people who are passionate about being the body of Christ. We need people who bring their ideas. Otherwise, we are just surviving week to week. We need this. That's a third temptation, to hang on to the status quo, to not want to change, to not want the challenge and the work that change requires. I read a book on Friday that talked about how churches are designed not to grow. We have it built into our structures many times that make it hard to grow. It's ironic. Ironic, considering that almost all churches have a mission statement, something similar towards reaching people, right? We want to reach people with the gospel. Here, we want to be a place where all people can grow in faith and come in our doors. Yet, we are tempted to make the church all about our own needs. Fourth temptation. Our own needs. What are our needs? Our needs for intimacy, our needs for closeness. That prevents our church from growing. Why? Because the more people you have here, the less likely that you are to have a relationship with that person. So in other words, we are tempted to make this place a place where we can meet with our friends, like a social club. And then our friends take priorities over visitors and people we don't know as well. It should be the other way around. Suggestion. Next week when we pass the peace, look for that person in the crowd that you know the least. Go say hi to them. Just one person. You could say hi to your best friend, but also go say hi to that person that you can't quite remember their name, maybe. We could talk to our friends outside of worship. We say we want to grow, but growth means change. It will mean including others. It means giving them a role, and that means less power for us to hang on to. It's a struggle. And those are temptations for us to gravitate back towards. Temptation is to work against our mission statement. And we shoot ourselves in the foot. Another temptation is to play it safe, right? To not do enough, to just do the minimum of what we're called to do so we can feel like we're making a difference in the world rather than really investing ourselves, right? We're tempted to not take too big of risk because, well, we're afraid to fail. What if that program or that ministry didn't have enough people show up? We feel badly. We feel discouraged. But we can't let fear control us. That's a temptation, to let fear control us, to react out of our fear. We talked about that in Advent, remember, on Hope Sunday? We said that we would react out of our hope, not react out of fear. Act out of our hope, not out of fear. Don't fall prey to that temptation. Related to this, of course, is to resist the temptation to do things out of a reaction to something happening, some event that happens, rather than being proactive. We want to put a security system in, that's an example. But do we want to retreat inward? No. That's a step in the wrong direction. Don't let a reaction be a temptation. We need to resist the temptation to let the paid staff take care of the work specifically the spiritual work of the congregation. Every one of us should be praying. Every one of us should be willing to visit somebody. Any one of us can pick up the phone, wish somebody happy birthday, to take a poinsettia to somebody, to check up on somebody, even to be preaching on a Sunday. I'm not doing my job if I'm monopolizing all of that work. My job is to build disciples. I can't be monopolizing all of that category myself in the spiritual department. And finally, the last temptation, to get back to Scripture, just as Jesus resisted what people wanted to make of him, the church should resist some of what culture wants to make it. Sometimes culture wants us to mind our own business, to stay out of the world, leave us alone. Some would even emphasize this inside of the church, quoting John 18 that says that we should be not of this world. True, yes, we are not of this world, but we are still in the world nonetheless. It's a duality that we struggle with. And we're called to baptize to the ends of the earth, right? Like in the end of Matthew. Some want to use the church as a tool to take up for an issue or a cause when it's convenient, when people agree with us, ignoring what they don't agree with, to make some political point, for example. Some people want to treat the church like a personal Santa Claus, right? A list of what I need. What can God do for me? Instead of coming to church and allowing yourself to be challenged and changed. Resist the prosperity gospel. It's a slippery slope. All of these things, these temptations. Do you see how easily we can acquiesce to the pressures? That little voice saying, go ahead, give in. Well, to borrow a political phrase, I say resist that, resist temptations. Let's pray. Holy God, we dedicate ourselves to you in this time, to your will in this new year. Forge the way ahead. Give us a vision. Cast it out ahead of us. Guide us. Give us your grace. Give us understanding. Give us the patience, the determination to see it through. We thank you for the leaders who have served our congregation so faithfully over the past years, and ask you to bless us as we next week have new officers. Bless us as we re-engage, as we look out beyond our walls and we look to spread your gospel and your good news, and we look to change lives. Help us when we come here to appreciate the fellowship, to appreciate the ways we've been blessed, but also to look to be changed and challenged and to grow. Bless us, Holy God. Bless our community of Galleon, and bless us. And may we be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we may resist the temptations that come in its many forms. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.